Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Come on, son.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another podcast. This is Come On, Son, the podcast. I'm Ed Lover, and of course, you know, as always, we like to, when we do Come On, Son, the podcast, we like to bring you things that you don't expect a lot of times. And this brother that I'm about to introduce to y'all, I've known him for quite some time now, and it's always like in an odd place that we run into each other. Like, you know, the last time we ran into each other was actually at the Trumpet Awards here in Atlanta, Georgia, and then I was in Kroger. Like the other day, buying a corned beef, because I was going to make some corned beef and cabbage, my mother's recipe, of course, and I'm walking down the aisle, and I see him, and it's weird because in the hip-hop business, I'm considered tall, and there's not a lot of people in hip-hop that are taller than me. It has, like, Montel Jordan probably in the music business. It hasn't been a lot of people, so I see this dude walk by, and I go, that's got to be my man right there, and of course, he saw me, yelled out to me, we connected. Ladies and gentlemen, Kia Shine is in the building. What's up, sir?
All right, what's going on? Ken Falk, what up with you?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
OG, what's going on, man?
I'm good. Doing quite well, man. How are you?
Man, blessed by the best. Blessed by the best.
Absolutely, man.
That's crazy because we do run into each other at the most random places.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was just crazy to be – I didn't even realize that we stay in the same hood.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
That was like a refreshing thing to me, you know what I'm saying, to see somebody that I've always admired and a mentor of mine to be right there in the aisle. You know what I mean? You getting corned beef, and I was going to make me a dope salmon for my wife, you know what I'm saying? I was like, when she get off of yoga class, I'm had this salmon set up or whatever, and I just left working out, and I'm like, man, I run right into you.
Absolutely.
Dope. But, it's no coincidence or accidents, you know what I'm saying? It's always, whatever happens is meant to be like that. When you run into each other like that, something's meant to take place, you know what I mean?
Right. Now, when he says – we live in the same hood. Let us define that as neighborhood.
Yes.
We don't live in a hood. Okay? I work too damn hard to still be living in somebody's hood.
Yeah, it did.
We mean neighbor.
Neighborhood.
Neighborhood.
Yes, the same neighborhood.
A very nice neighborhood.
Very nice area.
Beautiful
man.
Area.
Great area. Kids, a cool, really, really good place.
Yeah.
Man, I love it. You know
yeah,
what
me
saying?
Too. I really love it. So we in the supermarket is kicking, and then we just said what's up to each other, chatted up a little bit, and then I walked away, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, damn. I need my man on my podcast.
Perfect.
So I asked him, could he do the podcast? And here he is right now. You from Memphis, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about life in Memphis and what hip-hop was in Memphis to you.
All right, so hip-hop in Memphis, like, I'm going to break this down for you, right? Because, like, okay, Memphis is such a special place when it comes to music because a lot of time when people hear Memphis, then they think about the first 48, they think about barbecue, they think about Elvis, they think about some of the newer nuances that have come out of Memphis with Yo Gotti, Young Dolph, you know, the 3-6 Mafias, those things. But, like, when you really backtrack Memphis music, just like on my shirt, Isaac Hayes.
Absolutely.
We got to go back to Stax Records. You got to look at these were the first, this is like one of the first major independent company that was pumping out hit records, you know what I mean? And then when you talk about blues, and you, I remember the movie Cadillac Records and Muddy Waters and those individuals. Okay, so Memphis is like, if you step across the bridge, I mean, it's like 10 minutes across the bridge going west, you're in Arkansas. 10 minutes the other way, you're in Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's right on the border. So it's fertile ground for music, period, in this area. So you get some of the best live players, live musicians, some of the best music is just in this area. To me, whole genres of music have started right in this little spot. So it's like hip-hop, when hip-hop like started to like invade the airwaves, Memphis, because of where it's at geographically, if you look at the U.S. map, it's like in the center. That's why FedEx, UPS, Nike all have distribution outlets there because of the fact of it's easy to distribute through the rest of the U.S. right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of music distribution companies that are there. Selecto Hits, which is a huge distributor when CDs were in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right in Memphis. So it's like a lot of the music, we got it all. We got everything right there. And Memphis is a marketplace to where if something breaks in Memphis and works in Memphis, it's a great test market to see what it's going to do in the rest of the country. And even Billboard Magazine, the station that I do my radio show at, Hot 107.1 in Memphis, KSXT, it's number two as far as breaking new music in the U.S. because it's just our format. We grab hold of new records. We play them 30, 40 times a week, you know what I mean? And we start to build stories right from there. So we got everything. And hip-hop, I got all of it as it came through. And it just was – hip-hop was just – it was just dope. But Memphis, we kind of took it and made our own, like, sound with it, you know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
Memphis is also a very dark – place, you know what I mean? It's also the place where Martin Luther King was slain. You know what I mean? We just ran across the anniversary of that a few days ago, you know,
right.
This past Friday. So it's like there's a lot of hate in the city because of the, you know, because it was a, you know, black white city. It was that. So I think in the music or in the people sometimes there, that same small town, like that hate first mentality kind of still lives in it because it's so competitive. Like, you got to look at things like, okay, 3-6 Mafia and 8-Ball MJG. They are pioneers of Southern hip-hop. And it took them, like, probably, they both got their deals in, like, 96. So in 2006, they had Stay Fly Out. It took them 10 years after having their deals for them to do a song together. You see what I'm saying? So then that was Stay Fly. So you look at it from that perspective. Even like right now with Young Dolph beefing with Yo Gotti, and you know, it's like Black Youngster and these guys are beefing, and you know, this guy doesn't mess with this guy. Memphis has K Michelle, Juicy J, Young Dolph, Black Youngster,
Drummer Boy,
you know what I'm saying? A-Ball MJG, myself. There's a lot of talent that is just Juicy J, Justin Timberlake. These people are all from Memphis, Tennessee. You know what I mean? So when you look at what we have as a whole and how relative we are, K. Michelle, in right now. You know
Gangsta
what I mean?
Boo?
Gangsta Boo. You know what I mean?
Crunchy like, Black. Love yeah, Crunchy yeah. Black, man. Yeah. Love Crunchy
you
Black.
Know, you know what I'm saying? Like, these, it's so much talent that's come out of Memphis, but the lack thereof of the talent working together has been the issue. You know what I mean? And that's why the city doesn't get the shine that it does like Atlanta. The reason why I moved here is because of the fact that, like, the mentality is work with each other first. Keep the checks coming. Everybody, we know it's going to be a new artist coming every quarter. It's going to be something new coming. We're going to get behind it. Yeah, we still got love for the OGs, but we're going to keep pushing the new people through. If they mumble rap, whatever it is, we're going to keep it popping and keep the checks coming.
Right.
And Memphis is more like, well, if I'm on and I'm the king, then I don't want you to be on. And that is
sounds
just
a little bit like New York City to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so is that mentality or whatever, man. And it kind of hurts the city more than it helps the city, though. You know
who
what
are the real before 3-6 Mafia, before 8-Ball and MJG? Who was making noise in Memphis? Tell me some of the people that we may have never heard of that didn't blow up.
I'm glad you asked that question. Gangsta Pat. Is this dude named Gangsta Pat. He had a song called I'm the Gangsta. He was the first person signed to Atlantic Records from Memphis, Tennessee. I think it was Atlantic Profile at the time, or Profiler Records.
Mm-hmm.
And he went gold with this song called I'm the Gangsta. It was incredible. Another guy by the name of Al Capone. It's funny because Al Capone was, you know, you're familiar with the Hustle and Flow movie.
Of course.
The song Whoop That Trick,
mm-hmm.
that he was rapping,
uh-huh.
that was written by this guy named Al Capone. He was signed with E-40 back in the day. It was Memphis had this gangster walk movement that was going on, and he was like one of the pioneers of that. So Al Capone, Gangsta Pat, these guys were like definitely like some of the pioneers of Memphis hip-hop that mm-hmm. people really know about, you know what I mean? But they definitely put it down.
Yeah, like real triple OGs
of
hip-hop coming
yes.
out of Memphis.
Yes, yes, DJ Squeaky.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? This dude here was a DJ, but he made beats, and he was like one of the – Jeezy actually put him on – got about a beat from him for like two albums ago. on the Recession album, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
He bought a beat from Squeaky on that joint or whatever, because he was doing his Memphis history, I guess. But like, this DJ Squeaky kind of coined the sound, that dark Memphis sound with the heavy bottoms, mm-hmm. and then the hi-hats doubling up, you know what I mean? That's
right.
That's DJ Squeaky, you know
what
I'm saying?
Big shout out to my man, the Mouth of the South, too, Pepper.
Oh, Pepper, yeah. What's up, Artemis Williams? my boy Pepper, man. Yeah,
that's
Pepper,
my guy right Pepper, there. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Listen, man. That's how Pep just loud,
he's
brash.
Loud.
And
loud.
So Memphis is retarded.
Yeah, he still does his thing. He does a promotion with Yo Gotti has a spot called Privé in Memphis.
Yes,
and he does it every Friday night. Pepper has a huge following when it comes out there.
Yeah, so bring a lot of artists through and a lot of concerts
that. Pepper's definitely still relative, still getting money.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, absolutely. So who were your influences? Who influenced Kia Shine?
I think for me, it was like, okay. When I came up in Memphis, it was a mall called Mall of Memphis. It was a clothing store I used to manage, right? Called His Place, and I used to sell clothes, and and it was just popping. It was like now you got a lot of those urban stores or whatever that sold like the urban stuff or whatever that everybody liked. But like back in the day, it was only one or two spots in Memphis, and I had one of the spots that was popping. So everybody used to come through this spot. Ball and JG, when they first got signed, Ernest Draper and Tony Draper, who owned Suave House.
Yeah, shout out to them.
They would bring Ball them through, you know what I'm saying? And I would see them, like, okay, I knew Ball when they had a couple of local hits, and then I seen them get signed, and then I saw like them like blow up off their Coming Out Hard. Like, I'm like a young boy, but I'm like seeing, and then I'm with, they would bring me to the studio.
How old are you then?
I mean, I'm like 17, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I'm seeing these dudes blow up, you know what I mean? Right in front of me. So I think like, to me, it was like those dudes definitely were the influence for me. You know what I mean? Ball and JG for certain. And then I think from that, Eric Gales, is a guy named Eric Gales. He plays a backwards strat guitar. He was signed when he was 16 years old to Sylvia Ronan and Elektra Records. And he was on Arsenio Hall back in the day when Arsenio when he was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing with the band. He was my high school best friend. He was 16. And this dude was on Arsenio Hall, so, you know what I'm saying? I think, like, God put people in my life. It was just, like, people that, like, you know, it's one thing to want to make it in music, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go, I'm coming home, I'm watching you guys on TV, and I'm like, man, I want to get into the rap thing. But when God puts certain people in your life that's right there that you see actually are being successful right in front of you, you this is like, man, okay, so your belief, your faith is kind of increased. You, like, it ain't just as far-fetched as somebody may think who doesn't have anybody who's in their life that actually is doing the things that you want to do and on a professional level, you know what I mean? Being mm-hmm. signed at 16. So Eric Gales, A-Ball MJG, and there's another guy named MVP, talk about Pioneer Sounds of Memphis. He got a deal. He was signed with Tommy Boy in 1994, but the album never came out. But he had a crazy wave, and the sound was incredible, but it just never came out. But these are my homies, and I would see them go get major deals, and I saw Tony Draper do it independently, you know
yes.
what I mean? So seeing and then going through Selecto hits and putting out records and selling them. So those things, I just got the blueprint from them. So when it was my turn to put out music, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, I know how to at least go to Selecto hits, give me a distribution deal, you know what I mean? And be able to put out some music. But back then in the CD world, you had to build a fan base, a
right.
real fan base.
Well, you still got to build a fan base.
But you know, like,
so they say.
Your fan base now is like, you could be able to touch, well, we can touch people right now live. We can come on Sun live. We can do this and people can see it.
Right.
But back when I was coming up with music, you couldn't do that. You had to really go to all the record stores, really go to the people and really get people to get on your music so much so that they would love it, that they would want to get in their car, drive down the street, and be able to go buy it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I guess those things inspired me in Memphis. You know what I'm saying?
When did you first start putting out music? Before we get to when you first start putting out music, I want to say something, and I want everybody to hear this. This guy has one of the greatest hip-hop names that I've ever heard. And the funny thing about it is it's actually your name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nakia Shine.
Yep, Nakia Shine. My grandma used to call me Kia, you know what I mean? And every time I used to see her, she'd be, Kia, I'm going to tell you, it's God. She would never leave none. Jesus could do anything. Kia, you know what I mean? So it just stuck with me or whatever. And then when I used to tell dudes in the hood my name, Nakia, they just said, Kia, what up, Kia, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the kinfolk just kind of came from everybody in Memphis. Just when I came to New York, I started coming to New York in 2001, my first trip. And I would be like, what up, Kenfolk? I got these beats I'm trying to sell. And everybody, instead of calling me Kia Shine, they would just call me Kenfolk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they'd be like, because, you know, they go Kenfolk right there. And so it kind of stuck, you know what I'm saying?
But right.
Kenfolk is like Wardy or like Son
right.
in Memphis, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everybody say Kenfolk, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and that's where it came
That's where Kenfolk Kia Shine yeah. came from. Wow. Yep. And yep. Shine is actually your middle name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my middle name. Yep.
Did you ask your mother why she named you Shine?
Well, I asked my mom why she named me Nakia. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Like I'm a male. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I be talking to Bill. Cause sometimes when I talk to them, I pay my bills or whatever, and they be like, all right, let me give you my information. You know what I'm saying? Like, is this Nakia? Is she on the phone? I'd be like, man, listen, man. Listen, y'all want this money or not, man? Because I ain't going to pay y'all like y'all, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you've been going through this your whole life.
My whole life, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, but definitely Kia Shine. But understand this, people. Kia don't drive a Kia, all right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Indeed. But even LeBron messed with Kia, though.
Yeah,
you know
that ain't a bad check for LeBron, right? Even LeBron messes with Kia.
Matter of fact, Kia, y'all need to holler at me. Y'all need to sponsor something. Yeah. Man. Like, Kia need to be trying to get down with
Kia. Kia need to get down with
Kia. Get down with Kia. Seriously, man. Really.
For sure. That's so me. when did you start making music?
2000. Well, I put out, I guess that's a good question. I started making music when I was dissing my little cousins, and I had a little recorder, and I recorded, you know how you could have the dual tape recorder. You could play like, all right, we had the 33 or the 45, you could play the beat. So I'm playing Houdini, and then had like the 5 minutes of funk beat because it was like instrumental. Mm-hmm. So I'm running instrumental. Then I got one my little thing where you could press record and play. You could replay, you know, you could record the music.
Right.
So I would just record, you know what I'm saying, myself rapping on top of the joint. And then I let my dad and my mom hear it. And they was like, you know, you hear him on here dissing his cousins. He's cursing and everything.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't get mad at me for cursing on the record. They were like, you know, I'm not cursing when I'm talking to them. They understand that the music was a form of expression. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it was like at that point when my mom, if I would have cursed in the house, I would have got a whooping. But if I cursed, I'm in the fourth grade. But if I cursed on this record doing this, she understood the artistry of it.
Okay.
And that right there was like, okay, man, I started to see how people can see you could be one way right there and then you can get on record and just like let it all out. So she saw it as a vent. But I started making music seriously, like you know, all through high school, the whole, like, you know, going, trying to find studios and all that. But it was in 1998, my little brothers had a group called Lost Innocence, and I believed in them. And I had a corporate gig working for Harris Casino. It was a corporate office in Memphis. And I was just managing people, managing the call center. And I was doing pretty good. So I was like, all right, you know, let's just try to go ahead and put some money into this and, like, get it going. I knew Bobby O.J., who was over at K97.
Okay.
You know, he's a radio guru down there. And he just used to come to my store and shop all the time. So I was like, you know, if I ever got a record, you know, bring it down there to him. So I got my brothers, signed them, put out their music, and then I brought it to them and he put it on the radio for me. And it was like, bam, I had some local buzz going. And then, but I would rap on their stuff, but I really wanted to be respected as a CEO. I really wanted people to, because, you know, Tony Draper, I saw them dudes, like, they was... I respected Ball and JG lyrically, and it was dope, but it's like I respected T. Draper because he had the cars and the money and all that. And they were like, you know what I'm saying?
They had the fame, but he had the real bread.
He had the bag, you know right. what I'm saying? He had the Jags with the Bravis rims and the TVs in it. So I'm like, yeah, let me try to get like that. So I started making music in 1998. I started my first label, Diamond Cut Entertainment, distributed through Selecto Hits, and we just put out music. We really weren't making no money, but I was putting out music up until like 2000 into that situation. Then I met Dino Del Valle. You know what I mean? And Dino came down to Memphis to sign this dude named Player Fly. Player Fly also.
Shout out to Player Fly.
Shout out Player Fly.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Player Fly. We didn't mean no disrespect. Yeah,
gotta talk about Fly.
Out Player Fly.
Because Fly definitely, like, you know, Fliz Eye, he definitely is a pioneer of Memphis music. Him and Blackout, who made his beats too. All right, so they come to sign Player Fly. My man said, you need to just come meet this dude named Kia Shine. So he brings him to my apartment. I meet him, and we had a good vibe or whatever. He said, you ever come to New York, you know what I mean, just come by the office or whatever. So I had, you know, I'm a player. I'm from Memphis, so I always felt like, you know, I had a little female that worked at the airport, you know what I'm saying? So I had her, and I was like, look, you know, let me get the buddy passes or whatever, you know what I mean? So she used to lace me up with the buddy passes, so I got the buddy passes, flew to New York, and when I met with Dino, I wanted to play, me and my brothers went to the studio, we made all new music. We're like, all right, we're going to get to do the signers. But then when we get there, and I played the music for him. He was just like, you know, that silence, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, like, this ain't it. So I'm just like, something just told me I had a tape. And it was like, I was like, And this is 2000, so tapes were kind of out of fashion still.
Right.
But I said, let me just play this tape. So I just put the tape in. And I knew dude kind of felt me. I said, well, I'm going to just spit a freestyle. But when I put the tape in and press play, Ed Lover, the man, said, who did that beat? How much you want for that beat? Man, that changed my life. The man said, how much you want for the beat? I was like, well how much you give me for the beat? It was like, we for the first time, you know, we're buying beats or whatever, maybe like $5,000. Man, he told me that. I said, man, $5,000 for this? Okay. Yeah. I didn't even spit it. The freestyle was out the, no, fuck it. Forget a freestyle. I'm
right.
Like, let me, he finna pay for this beat. So I'm like, cool, let me get you the files to the beat. I go to Memphis, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, you know what I mean? This dude gonna be $5,000 for the beat. So I go tell the producer, I'm like, yo, let me get all your beats. All your beats. I'll get the beats free anyway. So
right.
Let me just give me all the beats. Give me all the files. I'm finna go back. Man, I went back up there, met with Dino again, and sold that beat in like two more beats. So I'm like, I got 15 bands.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I changed my whole situation. Now, instead of Diamond Cut Entertainment, I was called Rap Hustlers because I was rap hustling. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
right.
Man. So it's like, and it's like, okay, that producer who I was, then I asked Dino, I said, you got any other people to do what you do? You know what I'm saying? He was like, yeah, at the A&Rs. So he brought me to this other cat at Rough Riders, and I met DNY.
Okay.
And then Dean, they ended up doing a song deal, and they bought some beats. So I had a 10-song deal with them when Rough Riders, this is 01, when Rough Riders was, you know what I mean, it was crazy, you know what
right.
I'm saying? So I took that, and then I was like, okay, I got a song deal with Rough Riders. I'm selling these beats. So I just started, that was my whole hustle, go back to Memphis and get all the producers and find producers and get their music, you know what I'm saying? So I started to do that, got their music. And then I went out to L.A. and met with a dude named Manny Edwards, and he was in L.A. in my first trip out there, and I told him I got a production deal with Rough Riders, and I sold these beats to this artist this time, Universal. He said, I'll give you a publishing deal. I didn't know what that was. But, he, you know, I'm like, well, how much is that? And he was like, you know, it's going to be about $125,000. Bro, now I'm still working. You know, I'm still off working and on buddy passes this whole time.
Right.
I'm back and forth, and I'm like, you going to give me $120,000? Listen, man. It my life changed. It was like, all right, I see how I can get the money to be able to really funnel what I want to do. Well, long story short, the producers whose beats that I was selling was Drummer Boys, Chris Golson.
Oh, wow.
Chris was in high school. He was 17 years old. I just knew him. I heard his beats, and I was like, yo, this nigga beats is crazy.
Uh-huh.
So I took took his beats, and I would be selling his beats. And he would, man, yeah, I think this dude was 17 years old, just graduating.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming back home. We spend the money half and half.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you 17 and you coming, I'm bringing back to New York, bringing you back $7,500.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you like, okay, bro, let's rock. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so that's pretty much how I got into like the making money with music. And then when I got that first check, I went in, I said, all right, so let me go ahead and sign all the producers to song deals, because I had Rough Riders sign me song deals. So let me sign all my producers for song deals. Did that, and then I signed Yo Gotti because he was buzzing in North Memphis. He just put out his first mixtapes, but he wasn't like on the radio or nothing. So I was like, all right, let me be him, Skinny Pimp. You remember Skinny
yeah,
Pimp?
Yeah.
So Skinny Pimp, I signed Skinny Pimp, I signed Gangsta Black, I signed Yo Gotti, and I just, you know, took that publishing money, signed those dudes, and I started putting out music with them under my new label, Rap Hustlers.
Right.
When I did that, That's when I hit the streets hard, because those dudes had street following in Memphis already. With Diamond Cut, it was more lyrical, and we was more like just trying to get my brothers on.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to reinvent, and like, you know, now I kind of came with my P. Diddy move, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of like, I'm like Diddy through the city, you know what I'm
right.
saying? So it was like, and I'm bringing checks in for the producers, and my buzz is up, and nigga P. Vos is talking like he bringing the money in, and I started making records with Gotti and all those people, and putting out albums on them, and I got me a distribution deal with TVT, because I was able to, I only got a tour bus. I wrapped it. I put all my artist's face on it. We weren't going on tour nowhere. We just wrapped it. We just wrapped the tour bus.
Right.
We just rolled. We in the hood. We in the trap with the tour bus. But we running up by making people know about us. We promoting. We going. Greg, I came down to Greg Street. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Pull up on Greg Street or whatever. Like, you know, what up, man? We out here. You know what I mean? It's just like we made an impact. And by making an impact, I was able to break Gotti. That first album I did on Yo Gotti, Life, we did 122,000 units.
Wow.
On that, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, Skinny Pimp, I did like 75,000. I would go to, like, Skinny Pimp, I would do Selecto Hits still. I pressed up 30,000 records. I took them to Selecto Hits. Selecto Hits gave me $6 a record up front. You know what I mean? So I, like, saw my 180, you know what I'm saying? I, like, I'm this is... I'm a year off of working a job. You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, I just made $125 over here. I'm selling beats over here. I just sold this Skinny Pimp album to Selecto hits, and it made me $180 real quick. Then I went signed with TVT and put out a Real Gotti album and pushed like 120,000 records, you know what I'm saying, through them. So it's like life was good, you know what I mean, to this point. Life was like,
How long did you have Yo Gotti signed for?
I signed him in 2002. We were supposed to do two albums. We ended up doing two mixtapes, a DVD, and we did one national album.
Okay.
And then after that, this is when the bottom fell out. I hope the people listening could understand this part of it, because it's like sometimes you can grow too fast.
Okay.
Sometimes you can things could be happening for you, and you just make. I should have kept going through Selecto hits and flipping my money. But I wanted to get with TVT because they had Yin Yang Twins and Lil Jon was popping nationally, and I wanted to get national fast. Man, TVT didn't pay me for one of those records.
None.
I re-released a Skinny Pimp record, and I put out Yo Gotti record. I sold 200,000 records through TVT, and they didn't pay for one record. We were in court, you know what I'm saying? I had to sue these people because I had a straight distribution deal. I didn't have an advance deal. But what they did, and this is how me and Gotti fell out, instead of Gotti letting us go through the litigation and get the money from these people, he ended up signing directly with these people.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? He went and got a check from them. I'm like, bro, they paying you with our money. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, so they stole the artist. My partner at the time or whatever, like, he got caught up in some street stuff too. So it was like, it was a hard time. And he's like the money I hadn't been making, my man's was like, you know what I mean, was gonna go flip it, you know what I'm saying, to try to, like, you know what I mean?
Okay, the street flip it.
Yeah, street flip it. Lost, you know what I mean? And then TVT didn't pay us. But see, TVT didn't pay us as soon as they found out that my man got caught up in Memphis. It was like a big thing. We had like a couple, 200, 300 pounds, all that or whatever. You know, it was all on, you know what I mean? It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So instead of them paying us, they stole Gotti from us. You know what I mean? And then it's like, and I wasn't, you know, this is my man. So it's like, you know, if he would have won, it would have worked. But, if, you know what I'm saying? But it's my man, Jack Frost. Shout out to him. But when it happened, he took the rap and, you know what I mean? He did the thing or whatever and laid down. And it's like, you know, and it's like, man, but they got the artist. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and I couldn't fight because I really didn't have no money to fight with. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was a tough time. I lost my house. I lost the tour bus. I lost everything that I had.
Wow.
You know, this is in 2004. But the smartest thing I did, though, bro, inside the Yo Gotti CD, I put a DVD. It was a DVD, a 30-minute DVD on Gotti and a 30-minute DVD on Kenfo. Man, God would have people call me because I had my number on the DVD. And they would call me, yo, man, I love what you did with Yo Gotti, man. Come down to Texas and do some records with me. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I would just be, it would be me and my wife and my little brothers, because my little brothers who I signed, they started just doing beats. Because when I started selling beats, they were like, shit, what the money? They started doing beats. So it's like, we would just go around and just be doing dudes' whole albums. You know what I'm saying? Like, selling beats, just trying to get back on our feet, putting out mixtapes, selling mixtapes hand in hand with my wife, doing all that to get back on our feet. You know what I mean? And that's pretty much like how we got back on our feet. And then after that is when I said, you know what? I to get what I never had, I gotta do what I never done. I gotta put out my own single, because I was on all these records that I sold.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was featured on the Yo Gotti album. I was on like four of the songs. You know what I mean? So I had a buzz of people who knew me and knew my verses and knew my songs that I had with other people. I just hadn't put out my own solo Kia Shine thing.
Okay.
So it was like, all right, it's time to put out my own thing. So when the real estate market started doing those subprime loans, I thought people say it was a bad deal, but it was like you could get you a whole crib with a 600 Beacon score. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And my credit was like 600, so like I just want to start getting cribs. You know what I'm saying? So I was getting cribs and flipping the cribs, getting the money out the cribs, and I put the money into my music. I had a song called Respect My Fresh. I broke it, and that song started to get like 200 spins of radio a week, and that's how I got signed with Sylvia, and that's how the whole Crispy Wave and all that like came. You know what I'm saying? Like at that point, the record started to work. And I started dropping songs as a solo artist, and all my solo songs were just working. I had a record called Stunner Frames. Felly Fell started playing it out in L.A.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who Felly was. I didn't know he's playing my record. I had never even brought the dude the record. A friend of mine gave it to him. So it was like those kind of things started happening, and I started to get back on my feet, you know what I'm saying? And I was able to sign with Universal Motown and do my deal with Sylvia and put out my first release, you know what I'm saying, through a major. So, you know what I mean? That's pretty much the long and short of it, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, you know, you go through seasons, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And then I got the deal. I'm like, all right, well, I got a deal now. So now things are going to be better. But at the same time, it's like when you get a deal, I took really the money. I forced my album out, you know what I'm saying? Because I knew all the cheat codes, you know what I'm saying? I knew how to, like, look, I'm going to make sure that I'm finna get signed and I'm finna come out, you know what I'm saying? So, and I was able to just keep putting my money towards my music, you know what I mean, and bubbling up. So I made them drop my budget and I made them do those things or whatever. And I was able to come out pretty cool because, when I got signed, I got all the production budget, you know, it was mine, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And, you know, so I had a discretionary marketing fund. So I set the deal up the best way I could to try to succeed. But you know, but with Universal, that system is just like, it's like they gonna throw it up, see if it work, and if it don't do well for them, they're not gonna build an artist. They're gonna just chase a record.
Right.
So after that or whatever, I feel like I had my plug. So I was like, all right, well, let me just get off Universal and just keep putting out music and just keep feeding my bass. You know what I'm saying? I'd already had hosted Rap City for a brief stint. My had a hit single out. So it was like, let me just keep just funneling music or whatever and stuff. So I just kept doing that. You know what I'm saying?
So tell me about this young lady that's sitting with us right now.
Tomboy. All right. So this is what I want to say. Okay. So, all right. If you know, Mike, we just talked about with Yo Gotti and also too, even with Drake writing his first record, Best I Ever Had. That was,
right.
I'm gonna talk about that in a minute. But
okay.
But this girl right here, like, before I was an artist, if you listen to the story, I always like God had used me to like help people that are like on their way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like when Drummer Boy was, you know, I saw it. I would be right next to people and just see like they're next. You know what I'm saying? So what did you have me to do for them? I just came into the barbershop one day. Shout out to my man Trail. Shout out to 24-Hour Barbershop, Mogul Cuts. She came in there. I saw her one day, and she just had a wave. You know what I'm saying? You could see a star, man. You could see it. You know what I mean? And I saw it, and I was like, you know what, Tom? You know, we need to link up, and we kind of linked up. But I'll let you tell the story though, Tomboy. You know what I'm saying? You talk about it though.
Well, we linked up at 24 Hours, and I don't know. I always seen him. He got cut by a different barber from me. And he was, you know, a unique fella himself, and he looked different. And I was like, you know, something cool about him. I wasn't quite sure who he was, though, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking to my barber about him. He's like, you don't know who that is? That's Keyshawn. And he tells me, you know, all about him and his background and stuff. And I'm like, oh. And I thought about it, and I remember the song So Crispy because, you know, I thought I was so crispy.
Did we all, right?
Yeah, and I liked his hair, and I was new in Atlanta, and I didn't know anybody.
Where you from?
Hair. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
But I came from Charlotte. I was in Charlotte for 8 years.
Okay.
Before I moved here. And so I seen him over there and walked over to him and asked him about his hair. And then we just kind of linked up from there. And it was really just something I really seen in him, though. I asked him about his hair, but it was more to it than the hair.
Okay.
And so he gave me like three numbers. And I was like, why is he giving me three numbers? I just asked you about my hair. And so we just linked up from there. Seen him again, and we linked up, and it just...
We've been rocking ever since, like, you know what I mean? We've just been rocking. She creatively, she just got a wave. And it was like, it's funny because Young & May, you know what I mean, just dropped, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Had the wave. And before Young & May even was, like, buzzing, I was, like, looking at the music scene. I'm like, man, I'm in Atlanta. Why are there no, like, lesbian artists, you know what
right.
I'm saying, like, in Atlanta, like, on the forefront? I don't see not a one. You know what I mean? But if you go out to the clubs, you see them everywhere you go. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, hip-hop, you generates life, imitates life. Because I guarantee you, you looking for a fat boy with a big beard like Rick Ross, you go right down the street, you can see five of them. You
yeah,
know what
a thousand
saying?
Of them.
A thousand. They all, the hip-hop, anybody who's in hip-hop, they kind of like a mirror of what's going on in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't any tomboys, like, you know what I'm saying?
That right.
Like out. So I'm like, look, we got to start working. And we just started working together, man. Like, and you know, we just started smashing. Plus, you know, she's a cook. You know what I'm saying? She's a real chef. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So we would like, you know what I mean? We would cook these edibles. You know what I'm saying? Like these incredible edibles. You know what I mean? And like, you know, we would boom them. You know what I'm saying? Like in the markets where cannabis is legal, first of all. But like we would do that, and we just started linking up, man. So I started, you know, I throw shows too. I threw a show with Future right when Time to Be Alive was right the same week.
Mm-hmm.
I had them booked for Little Rock, and I was like, look, man, we had this song. Our first song we did was called Trap Out the Uber, and it was before Uber everywhere. It was before that
Trap Out the Uber.
You know what I'm saying? So we dropped the Trap Out the Uber joint. And we just went down to Little Rock and we performed with Future, and Future just was like all over. Like Future, when he met her, he was just like, man, yo, you know what I mean? He was just he was into it or whatever, like. So we just been working. We put out a project together, you know what I'm saying, called Tomboy Kenfolk. It's available like everywhere right now. You know what I mean? You can look for it. It's everywhere on our site too, tomboykenfolk.com. You know what I'm saying? It's dope though, man. It's some real different music. We felt like there's never been a female male like duo that was one was lesbian and one was heterosexual, and right. what kind of music could we make like together? Because you know I'm a lesbian too. I like women.
Me too. It's all of us in here. Tell me about this Drake situation.
So the Drake situation was one of the situations where I had to be like, you know, I'm gonna use this tag right here on this one. This. Come on, son. I'm gonna use this. Alright, so this right here. Alright, so check it. So I produced a record for Lil Wayne called Do It For The Boy. Me and Wayne got a great relationship. Back in 02 when I was really buzzing by my Yo Gotti had all that.
Yeah.
I had a record with me, him, and Yo Gotti called Do What You Do.
Uh-huh.
And Skinny Pimp. So when like Wayne was my dude. So when Wayne was recording Hear High Beats, I came through, brought some beats, and so he ended up doing one of the songs called Do It For The Boy. So DJ Absolute in New York was like, okay, the record you did for Lil Wayne, Jaheim wants to buy. His A&R wants to get it for Jaheim.
Mm-hmm.
So is Wayne going to buy the beat or not? I'm like, well, you know, Wayne put on the mixtape, but I don't know if he's going to buy the beat. I'll follow up and see what's going on. But if we can, you know, they said, send an invoice for Jaheim. We're going to buy that beat. All right, cool. Send the invoice. All right. So then Absolute called me. He's very upset. He's like, bro, I thought we was gonna make money with the beat together with Jaheim. I'm like, bro, he said, why you sell a beat to Drake? I'm like, man, who is Drake? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, nah, he got the beat. I'm like, who is Drake and how he get my beat? You know what I'm saying? So when I listened, I said, send me the record. So he sent me the record. I said, bro, like, that's like my beat, but it's flipped. You know what I'm saying? But thanks. Let me call my publishing A&R. I sent it to my publishing A&R. We sent it to a musicologist. The musicologist was like, yeah, this is like your record, and they flipped it and all that. So basically, the business was squared away immediately. Because my publishing was through Universal Music Publishing. So it was like they immediately got on top of the business and made sure I got my credit. But then by the time that happened, it was 9 months prior to the world knowing.
Okay.
So the whole time, the song, Best I Ever Had, is blowing up. I'm sitting back just, you know, I ain't say nothing. I'm like, man, my credit's already for me, right? I'm waiting on the publishing check, the mailbox money. I'm not tripping. I go to the BMI Awards in New York and go get my BMI Award. And they ask me, what you win the award for? I said, for writing the Best I Ever Had. Man, that went viral.
Right.
You know what I mean? Next thing you know, it's like Twitter. It was the first time I was a trending topic on Twitter. Like, everything was like, Kia Shine wrote. I'm like, okay. And then Drake come out and say that I'm lying. And I'm like, come on, son. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, nah, not like, I just won an award. How am I lying when I'm sitting here winning an award for the record? You know what
right.
I'm saying? So it was like one of those things where he's a fresh new artist. He didn't understand that he had sampled the record from Wayne. You know, we could do it real big, bigger than we ever done. Not be up on anything the other niggas never on. It's just do it for the boy. See, I wrote that for the hook for Wayne.
Right.
I put the hook in the beat, gave it to Wayne. Wayne re-raps it, and then Drake takes it and makes
Baby, you're my everything.
You are like, he makes the whole joint. So he didn't understand that's what he did. And it's like, that's one of the times where I was like, you know what? It's like, I want to be liked, and I know Drake is a great artist, but it's like my kids, like, they have to eat. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, the business was already done. It wasn't like I was coming out saying, this is my record. Wait, I didn't try to, this is your record. You dope. You can write. You can do your thing. I'm not trying to take the whole ghostwriter thing from you. All I'm saying is that record was my record. It came from me. A part of it did. So that's why I was awarded 25% of that song. And I wish he would have came back out and said, you know what? I said he was lying, but nah, I was wrong. You know what I mean? But
right.
but dudes don't do that. Dudes is like, you know what I mean? Okay, you know what I mean? Switch subjects. You know what I'm saying? Don't even talk about it no more. So, but yeah, that's my record, and I got the gold plaque for it. It went gold on the album So Far Gone. It went gold, and then the single went 3 times platinum. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so there you go.
So yeah, I got, you know, I definitely am thankful, you know what I'm saying, that I'm able to still eat with that every quarter. So that's how the Best I Ever Had thing happened. You know what I'm saying?
We're gonna take a slight pause right here, and then we got more with my man Kenfolk, Kia Shine, coming up at Tomboy right here on the Come On Son podcast.
Kivo!
Yeah, man. See, come on, some podcast back again with my man, Ken Folk. He is Shine Time Boy in the building.
Indeed.
My man. So how far are you? When we left off, we were talking a little bit about a lot of stuff, but we were talking about Tomboy in particular. Tomboy, how far into your project are you guys right now?
Well, actually, we have two projects. Actually, in a group with him as well.
Okay.
So we've been
So you got two projects. You got your own project, and then it's Ken Folk, Tomboy?
Yeah, Tomboy Kenfolk.
Tomboy Kenfolk. That's a different project altogether.
Yeah. That's out now. Like, that's well, the mixtape is out right now.
Okay.
And the single, New Wave, New Day, New Wave, the video and single is out right now everywhere, all music formats, and the video is in rotation right now on BET Jams.
Okay. And you still rap hustlers?
Oh, yeah, still rap hustlers forever. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's it.
But still running into to new producers?
Yeah. I was in the hard way right now with the Lil Uzi Vert, little producer in there. Whatever.
Okay.
So I'm trying to holler at them now. Like, okay, what's going on?
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, but we're working on her solo. She has a solo project coming. Tomboy.
Tell me about your solo projects, Tomboy.
It's going to be androgynous because it's kind of like, you know, I'm a little bit of everything.
Like, meaning what? Elaborate a little bit.
I just feel like, you know, I'm uniquely different as far as, like, I have a lot of, like, male ways and a whole lot of feminine ways.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of meeting in between is androgynous, and I'm coming out with a tape. Just
right.
Androgynous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Are you excited about it?
I'm very excited.
What can we expect from this, like, lyrically, where are you at? Where's your brain at right now? What do you want?
Real female pimpish. Like,
okay. So I'm just being honest, so. What do you want people to get from this project?
Just trying to touch more people on my own. You know what I'm saying? My own kind, my lane, and stuff like that.
Right.
So, and also still the straight at the same time.
Okay. Were you already working on stuff before you met Kia?
Nope.
Not at all.
Not taking it serious at all, though.
No. Oh, but you were rapping already.
I was doing a little song, but not really.
Well, what made it change that you got serious?
Just confirmations throughout life. Just always running into people. They always thinking I'm an artist. I'm signed with somebody or I'm somebody. And
right.
So I finally ran into the right person.
Don't forget that, okay?
Always. I ran into the right person to actually put the situation together, create,
right,
and actually do it. So
what are you guys' creative process like, Sean?
We're just talking about that. It's funny because I think it's more like, you know, art imitates life. So it's like, okay, it may be a conversation. It may be a mere word you may say. It may be some situation that we go through. It may be something, you know, because the thing about it, our story is not the only one we're trying to tell. We're really trying to, you know, touch other people.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so if there's something, a trend or a wave that is starting, or we can either start or we can confirm, then I think that's what hip-hop does. Hip-hop lets you know what's cool, what to wear, what the slang is, you know what I'm saying? So I think, like, for us, like, we just trying to, like, kind of
come with the newest thing,
like, you know what I mean? Because in today's society, it's more like, oh, if he's coming like that, he's got blue hair, I'm going to have red hair. But I'm from the era of hip-hop where it's like, if you got doing a different color hair thing, and that's what you doing over there.
That ain't what I'm doing over here.
That's not what I'm doing over here.
Right.
So we our creative process, we strive to be different, you know what I'm saying? Because we are different. There are no male and female, lesbian, and heterosexual groups together. So we're different in the sense of that. But, like, from the dress, the style, all that, we just want to be self-expressed, to be different, you know what I'm saying, and show. Because today, society is different. Little girls are going to school right now, and they look like her, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they need someone, they need their public figure to be able to say, hey, it's okay to be how I am.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I want to be able to open the gateway for that, you know what I'm saying, so that you can be who you are. Because I'd rather be hated for me being me than be loved for what I'm not. So we want the people to be able to be who they are. So creatively, we just want to make sure we express whatever's true to us, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I think that's pretty much what it is. And then we just get the vibing, and we just get out, and then the feedback from the people and the energy, and then we like, all right, let's go recreate it. Let's go make something. Like, I might go to Follies, right, and go in Follies and have a good time, and we, you know, sit, play with some women for a minute. And then we might be the vibe in the club.
Nobody invited me to Follies. I like Follies.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because we will be there back on Sunday.
Okay.
You know, so we always say, we stay in the strip clubs. We stay in the clubs because, you know, the thing about, okay, I'm going to do this one for you. All right, everybody loves their phone. They're connected to their phone. So when you on your phone, you can pretty much listen to what you want to. Go to this dope podcast, Come On Son podcast. You can go check out Coffee with Ken Folk. You can go do whatever you want to go do. You can go do it from your phone. When you're in the club,
all that phone is off.
Right.
You can be looking at it, but you're going to be hearing, you're not going to be programmed. I mean,
right.
You're not programmed now,
right.
But then you're going to be programmed when you go in that club. So to me, it's like that's the time where, you know, that live experience, the live scenario with people, we're not just online, we're in the club. You got to feel the energy, you got to feel the vibe of what's going on right now. And then if you got that, you could kind of put that into a box and then take that to your studio and kind of give that back to them. You know what I'm saying? So we encourage, if you making music, please get outside of the internet. Get into atmosphere with people. I even tell my sons, yo, don't be so socially active, but then you can't be, you know, active when you're in the public. You can't look a man in his eye and talk to him. You can't touch the people. So
you're so social that we're not social.
That we're not social. So, like, get out, feel the energy. We love to get out and feel the energy and see what's going on. Because, you know, like I said, as artists, you've been blessed to be able to paint a picture. But, you know, you're speaking for other people. So it's like, yes, you want to tell your story, but you're still speaking for other people. So it's like you want to make sure that your art is imitating the life that's going on. So
good.
You got to feel the life. So we go outside and we feel life.
Good, bro. I appreciate you, brother.
Now, listen, I got to say this before I leave. People, when I go online, I always see negative stuff. And I know the negative stuff gets the most views. All the negative fights, all this stuff or whatever, you know, we all want to see that. But I tell people, please encourage y'all for 1 minute out the day, when you start today, go check out something positive that can be able to speak life into you. And that thing is my blog. It's called Coffee with Kenfolk. It's Kenfolk with an I, coffeewithkenfolk.com. It's just something that it's inspiration for your situation and it's motivation for those who are looking for that good inspiration, man. So please check out the site, subscribe to it, because there's definitely some really cool things going on with the Coffee with Kenfolk.
CoffeeWithKenfolk.com. We will make sure that we do that.
Indeed.
We appreciate you, homie.
Man, we appreciate y'all, man. Come on,
Tomboy,
son.
Tomboy, nice to meet you.
Appreciate you.
And you know, man, you're going to collab together and work with Wifey, baby.
We finna work with, first of all, Wifey. I got something very, 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 and Wifey is artist. I have something very, very special after listening to her that I'm going to introduce her on. You know what I'm saying? I think she's going to really be dope. So I got an idea. You know, I got some things that I got in the studio. So when I get back from this dub show we about to go do in Memphis, we're going to get in the studio and we're going to put some stuff down.
There
I like
you
her
go.
Energy. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to work. You know
Young Foxy in the building.
Yeah, yeah. But she can hear, though. You know what I'm
saying? Come on, son. It's the podcast, all right? Ed Lover, yeah, we appreciate y'all.
All right,
peace out.
Kenfo.
This Ed Lover podcast is being done in conjunction with Cigars International. Make sure you check out CigarsInternational.com for all your cigar needs.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast, is produced and engineered by co-executive producers Kimana Paulus and Krista Hayes. Recorded at Mean Street Studios in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.